Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host this morning for Women Leading the Way, and with me is somebody new, somebody different, somebody amazing. Am I building you up enough, Patty? Because I just want to make sure you're feeling good right now.
No, I'm just wondering who you're talking about.
Exactly. We have to. It's called Women of Influence Awards. That's what we're going to talk about today. And I want to just kind of like say thank you to all of our listeners. And Patty, you are my special leading lady today. So say hello to all of our listeners.
Hi, everybody. Glad to be here.
out to the podcast sphere. I always like when people do that. They're like, who am I saying hello to? I'm like, just everybody. You know, we're going to have a little conversation with everybody today. But I'm invited you to the show because we are in the throes of, let's just start with 2020. What a year. Can we say that?
Yes.
I think everybody in the world is scratching their head and saying, what up? You know, and for us, this is what I wanted to talk about today, because so many businesses, you know, are trying to, or have, or haven't, you know, shifted and pivoted and adapted to what's going on. And we are in the throes right now of picking up something that really we had to, unfortunately, postpone in March. And for our listeners that don't know, March has always been and will forever be Women's History Month. And every year for the last 6 years, we have celebrated in the month of March with our Women of Influence Awards. But sadly, as we remember, right, Patty, this year, 1 week before we were ready to go live and have our event in person with, you know, 300 or 400 people in a ballroom, those are old school days. We had to postpone the event. So I just, you know, wow, this is something new for us. So now here we are, and this is where I wanted to kind of have you share a few insights, Patty. We have had to do a 180, like shift and pivot in how we bring on events. And I just wanted you to share, because you've been involved with this for the last few years. It's like, what, you know, how difficult it's like, you know, because I know you're working with me. We'll go with that for the first thing. But, you know, how much of a muscle is this hard to get going again? Because it's all new for us. Like, what's been your take on how we've adapted? Kind of well, kind of not. That's my take. But what's yours on this whole shift to do the awards on live and via live broadcast?
Well, it definitely was like a what sort of thing, because we've been doing the Women of Influence Awards for several years now. So even though it's always new people and it's, you know, new faces and new stories, the process is pretty much the same. It just gets bigger and better, you know, every year. And then suddenly all the things that were familiar to us were gone. And we had to figure out some new way to still, when you can't get people together in a room, you can't have all the fanfare and all the noise and all of that, how do you still honor these incredible women, you know, and give them the due, and you know, a couple dudes, and give them the due that they deserve for everything that they do? That was just the biggest challenge, you know. Not to mention
I was going to say, I think that's what's been so it's been so crazy with the idea that it's like, you're not going to be there. Like, you know, you can, like, I don't know about you, because you've been the host for a few years, and it's like, I know coming on and off stage, it's like you get such, it's kind of like sports, right? Where the athletes get such a supercharge and they're fueled by the fans and the stands. Same thing happens at the awards, where it's like we have that fuel and that energy from companies and people up for awards, and they're nervous and they're excited, and, you know, we just don't have that this year.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
Talk a little bit, because one of the things we did do that I thought was, I told you yesterday, you have spent, I know, an inordinate amount of hours just kind of going through, and we thought this would be a really great give to showcase the finalists that are up for the different awards. We'll talk about all the different awards in a minute, but, you know, talk about, you know, when we said, and we came up with the idea, we're going to do videos with our finalists, and we're going to get to capture them now that we're in this remote world where we never see people face to face. Technology has made it, you know, a little bit easy for us to do this, but what was video interviewing, you know, some of our finalists like for you? It's like, I was super inspired when I saw the videos, but for you, talk about kind of your experience in interviewing all these characters and these amazing leaders.
Well, the funny thing is that with the exception of those who are probably professional speakers, or they're accustomed to being on the stage, these were all super accomplished, super talented, you know, superstars in their field, who would just freeze when that red light went on and said I was recording. So the most accomplished people in the world were suddenly like, it was so funny. And it was, you know, we would spend a little bit of time before, these are super short little videos, you know, and we would talk a little bit before just to kind of get them loosened up and stuff. And then the minute I turned on the record button, they suddenly were like all tongue-tied, and, you know, but it just goes to show you, you know, that what a level playing field, you know, this is.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point, because I know you said sometimes you had to do more than one take, you know, with some of the finalists. Because, you know, I mean, again, credentialed, accomplished, you know, dedicated to their trade or what they do as a profession or in building their business. But that doesn't always equal, you know, being ready to be interviewed. And you get in your head, right? You kind of sit there, especially on Zoom, you sit there and start looking at yourself and going, oh, man, I look like a loon and all of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, gosh, you know, I mean, for you, can you give a few tips that maybe you experienced on how people can show up a little differently, you know, when they're being interviewed? What would be some slices of advice you would give to our audience? Because I know there's a ton of training on Zoom, but this one's different. It's like short is tougher than being on like a half hour show or something like that. What would be some tips you'd give?
Yeah. So, you know, I tried to prepare them ahead of time by saying, here's the questions that we're interested in you speaking to. It wasn't like an interview. It was just, here's two things I want you to talk about in a minute and a half, you know, and so kind of gear up. So I think the thing that would have helped all of them would have been if they took that to heart and practiced more ahead of time, you know. And at the same time, though, you know, I had to frequently tell them, hey, it's okay. This is just you and me. We can stop and do it again if we have to, you know, kind of get out of your head. Don't stress so much about this. Really, you know what you're passionate about. Speak about that, you know. And so that was usually helpful when they were able to kind of step off the stage, essentially, you know, and be ready.
Yeah. But, well, one of the things I love that you did.
I was just going to say usual Zoom stuff, you know, about make sure that your connection works before we get on the call, you know, make sure that you've got your windows
good
closed
advice.
Or, you know, whatever. So
it's amazing where people will do interviews either like this audio, right? We're doing a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we're not together. That's the beauty of technology as well. But yeah, I mean, I've heard some interesting things in the backgrounds and seen very interesting things in the backgrounds of Zoom meetings and interviews. So I love it. You know, I think one of the things that I was so surprised at that was special to me, you know, as the leader of the band here for our association, was just the thoughtfulness that some, and maybe mostly all, gave to the big question that we asked people. I mean, I've always wanted to capture, it's like, what does it mean? Because our awards, just for our listeners, so you know, it's called the Women of Influence Awards, right? And people will say to me, well, what's a woman of influence? And honestly, mm-hmm. it's like my answer is always, well, you know, it's different depending on who you ask, you know? And so we asked, right? That was one of the really prime questions that you asked. I mean, how surprised were you? And what were some of the pieces that you heard people say that was either, oh, wow, that's pretty inspiring. I don't know if you can remember, because I can remember a few, but, you know, what were some of the surprise ones, if you can kind of think back to anybody that maybe delighted you or surprised you in what their answer was? Not to tell who, of course.
Yeah, well, there was a common thread that almost everybody said the word integrity in describing what a woman of influence was. I mean, there was probably maybe a handful that didn't use that word, but in all the descriptors that they would use, the word integrity came through loud and clear. And I think that speaks to a number of things. I think it speaks to the experience of the women and men that I was interviewing, you know, as far as their business experience, their life experience, and learning how important integrity is. And I also think it speaks to the times that we're in, how much we value integrity in people. You know, when things are so up in the air and so shaky and you're not sure really what's true and what's not true, we really value something like integrity. So that really stuck with me. It wasn't like just a word they were throwing out. It seemed like it was very intentional. And one that I loved was she said a woman of influence is a woman who, and I'm not going to get this right exactly, but what she said was that generates love, you know, creates love or you know, and it was just really very, very poignant, you know, and warm.
I love that. You know, my takeaways from it, you know, just think of the difference if you ask a man versus a woman, which we did ask a few men. We'll talk about that here in a second. But it's interesting to me with women that nobody ever said power, prestige, status, title. You know what I mean? It's like when you think of influence, you're like that. I mean, I think, and I don't know what you think, but, you know, to our listeners, what do you think? Because I think if you ask a man what, you know, of influence means, you know, as an individual, they would say those things. Well, your title, your status in the community, your reputation, you know what I mean? That kind of thing. And women were more of, you know, God, have good integrity and love what you do and, you know, surround yourself with good people. Those were some of the things I heard. What's your take on kind of the difference between maybe, you know, how men answered, but we asked them what makes a woman of influence. And I thought that was fascinating with the two men. So talk about Tam and Scott, because I thought those were so different, but back up 1 second. So sorry, Patty. Maybe one of the things that we want to do is for our listeners, we made a decision a few years ago that, you know, since we're very passionate in our association about women's advancement, that we can't be an island to ourselves as women, right? So as a women's association focused on advancement for women in business, our also kind of like, quote, initiative was to make sure that we were aligned with good men. In our world, we call them dedicated dudes, which I personally love that title, and they seem to rise up to that. These men were very thoughtful about what they said about what makes a woman of influence. Talk a little bit about that, because they were both very different in how they answered the question, but really thoughtful on both their parts.
Yeah. There is one other gentleman that we interviewed too in a different award category for his company, you know, being a champion of women. We can get
to him
in a minute. But for the two that were the catalyst for change, one really spoke from a place of what he learned from his mother and what he learned from working with his sister. And, you know, so these were lived experience of what it meant to watch a woman influence in the workplace and influence the people mm-hmm. around her and influence the employees and the customers and their suppliers and, you know, other peer organizations. And I thought that was just really very heartfelt and very beautiful. The other gentleman was coming from a place of working with organizations to create environments that promote women. That so it was a very professional side of it. So I would say one was very professional, intentional about what their mission was and so forth, whereas the other one was very personal and lived experience.
Wow, wow. You're right. I mean, you hit it right on. And I mean, you were so involved with all these interviews. I mean, I got to say, when I watched them, I ended being inspired. I was amazed at some of the things people said. And, you know, I think it's really going to help us showcase, you know, some of these great leaders that are up for different awards. So let's talk a little bit about the awards, because there are 12 of them, and actually 13, which we've added one this year. We add one, we take one away. Every year we're kind of like doing this. But one of my favorite awards is to recognize a company or an organization that truly champions the advancement of women, right? Whether it's in the workplace or it's an association or an organization, you know, that helps propel women, you know, forward in business or industry or enterprise. Talk a little bit about, you know, the people that are up for the Champion of Women Award, because I know you did the interviews, and to me, it's like there's some great companies doing some great things. Any insight on some of the things you learned about these organizations that are up for the awards for the Champion
they were
of Women?
All three very different organizations, very different kinds of organizations. And I think that was what, you know, probably made the judges' job really, really hard on this one. One was a gentleman that, you know, his company is in financial services, and basically what his take on being a champion for women is that organizations don't put processes in place. They don't have a structure or a strategy that enable women to excel like a man could, you know, because if a woman is a mother and, you know, has all of these other outside responsibilities, which of course are often shared, you know, with the husband now, but in the event that they're not, those can be penalties for a woman trying to progress in her career. And so he was quite astute in recognizing that the systems that are in place are sometimes what keep people down.
That was Mark. I think we can talk about them, you know, for the Wealth Effect. So Wealth Effect is Mark's company. Mm-hmm. I know I had one conversation with him, and one of the things he shared was he was so wanting to have his team, which many of his leaders are women, which he shared with me, and his director of operations wanted to make sure that, you know, she was recognized for being a key part, you know, of their success as a champion of women. So I thought that was really cool that he was looking to kind of make sure those within his team were being recognized. Talk about Cindy from Kingdom Auto Repair. I know you did the interview with Cindy, and I'm just like, wow. I mean, talk about a cool auto repair company. Share a little bit about that, because you know more than most people do about how awesome this organization is for women's, just supporting women.
Yeah, and they are, first of all, her husband nominated her for the award, which I thought spoke volumes about his respect for her. But being a woman in a male-dominated industry like that, she saw a need for educating women about car care and not letting them get ripped off if they go into an auto repair place, or not letting them get taken advantage of if they're, you know, on the side of the road and their car breaks down and some mechanic tells them they need a $50 million part, you know. So they started a girls car care. They do a blog. They do a video blog. She goes out and speaks to organizations. It's just a really neat, upbeat, fun thing. And in the meantime, she's got a bunch of kids. I don't know how many kids she's got, but there's a lot of them.
So funny. And she's managing it, her and her husband. I love the focus of
and
their
auto
repair
shop. Exactly. It was really, really great. So, I thought that was really inspiring. And of course, the two of them, again, coming from different aspects. And then the third finalist in that category represents a businesswoman's association. And, you know, she spoke to the legislation that they go and speak to in Congress, and the lobbying that they do, and how they really represent women's equality and advancement at a political level, you know. And so
that was
inspiring too. That's NABO, yes.
Yeah. And they're a national organization, National Association of Women Business Owners. My gosh, they lobby for all women owners to get their, as they call it, get their seat at the table, which is kind of cool. So get your seat. I want to kind of hit on some of the other awards in the limited time we have, because I know one award that, you know, you're pretty close to, because I know you've done some, again, these fabulous interviews and been very tightly attached to our finalists. But I want to talk about the Lifetime Legacy Award. And that one, it's like, I'm really curious because, you know, the idea for that award was recognizing a woman who's had a long-term success as a leader in business. And I think this is probably one of our hardest awards, is when you see the longevity, and I'm going to put in the humble pride that so many of these women in the past years that have been up for this award, that almost feeling like, oh, I'm not worthy for that award. And I'm like, oh, my God, you so are. You know, but anybody stand out to you as far as whether it's Ruby or Lori or Janine that, you know, I know you did interviews with them, and I'm just curious what, you know, what are some of the things you're seeing that are amazing out of these Lifetime Legacy finalists?
Well, when I talked to Janine, it was there was just a lot that came out of my conversation with her, and one brilliant word to describe her really would be humble. She is incredibly humble. And one of the, just what she's tried to do in her business as far as advance women and so forth was very inspirational. But she also shared with me that she started at the company as a receptionist or something while she was still in college.
Oh, wow.
And then, did her whole career at the company and rose to a position of a senior vice president and was such a role model for people in that company to say, hey, if she can do this, look at the opportunities this company provides for me. And she was really proud of that. But she said it was a shock. People never would believe that when she would share that, you know. So
I think, I'm going to say this, and you know where I'm going with this one, but for all of our listeners, I think this was, in our Lifetime Legacy Award, this was one of those awards that has a little specialness to Connected Women of Influence this year. And just to see how an organization can rally support to give recognition to one of their long-term leaders is amazing. Like, in my opinion, more companies should do that, and we don't want to say which one, but that was special. I know we continue to go, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, look at how much this organization supports, you know, one of our finalists, but it was very telling. And everybody had a different thing to say. So I'd love to be able to say out there, you know, to anybody, if you work for an organization, my gosh, it's like getting, you know, it's pretty special when somebody else takes a moment or two or longer and just, you know, puts down what they think about, you know, you and why you're deserving of an award. And I know that's one of the things we do, is we don't get a ton of self-nominations. It's more we put out the rally cry for the Women of Influence Awards is to say, you know, men, if you know a woman that's deserving of recognition, I'm always amazed at husbands who nominate their wives. I'm blown away when I see colleagues within workplaces that men will nominate coworkers or supervisors or leaders within the company that they respect, or, I mean, even, Patty, talk a little bit, because this year we even had customers businesses, yeah, that mm-hmm. nominated because they had a great experience at a company and they happened to see it. I mean, that I got goosebumps thinking about that, because it really is more not us self-advocating. It's more, hey, gosh, you know, take a moment, pay it forward, recognize somebody when you see this, because I feel like that's a game changer. What are your thoughts on that when we had those really just wonderful ones that came in from a couple of customers of small businesses?
Well, what was so great about those was the customers would say things like, we've watched them grow in this business, or we've experienced consistent great service and fantastic attitude. You know, those kinds of things would come out. And then inevitably the nominee was like, what? Are you kidding me? You know, this is just my job. I don't deserve this, you know? And which I love being able to tell them, oh yes, you do, you know, because here's what they said about you, by the way. And they'd be like, wow, you know, you're going around being yourself, doing your thing, working your passion without realizing the impact you're making on other people.
Oof, I got goosebumps on that. We only have a few minutes left, but I want to tell you, this is how I want to wrap up on this one, because, you know, the part that still gets my dander up a little bit, and I want our listeners to know, is that women, ladies, it's like, man, it's like humbleness sometimes is not a great thing in business. I mean, I'm not talking about arrogance, but I will say I'm just always surprised how many women just feel they don't deserve an award when they're nominated for something. And yet, flip it over to a different gender, which is the other gender, our men. And it's like, you know, they have no problem accepting awards. I mean, I know I'm making a big generality, but I wish there was one thing, and Patty, I'd love your thoughts on this one. It's like, how can we get more women, you know, one, to be recognizing other women, right, for the good jobs mm-hmm. they do, being, you know, getting them recognized for different things. I love a rally cry for women. If there could be, you know, as you're in your business community, and if you work in an organization and you see that there are awards that are coming up, we'd love for you to think of ours, the Women of Influence Awards. But gosh, you know, nominate a colleague, nominate a peer, nominate, you know, a woman owner or, you know, a leader when you see some of these different women's awards programs going on. I mean, what's your take on it, Patty? Because I just, you know, the whole reason we do the Women of Influence Awards is to get more women recognized for the amazing achievements and accomplishments and things they do in business. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah, I think absolutely that is what we need to do for one another. You know, that old saying that a rising tide lifts all boats, you know, the more that we support one another, the more that we promote one another, the more there is to go around for all of us, you know, the better the world gets. So,
geez, we should promote, just end promote, on that, promote. But we really can't yet. That's pretty awesome. I like, you know, cause it is, it's like, you know, when people say we're better together, I got to say, I get more of a fun factor and a float my boat. Again, not trying to make it about me, but I really do enjoy more to nominate other women for the good that I see them doing than I ever do if I'm up for an award. Does that make sense? Because mm-hmm. it feels great to recognize other women, because we just don't do it. Like, we think, oh, I'm not worthy, or it's like, you know, I need to work hard and, you know, someday. And it just, don't do that. And so I want to make sure all of our listeners know, if any of you want to check out the Women of Influence Awards with Connected Women of Influence, our website is womenofinfluenceawards.com. And if you want to check out more about Connected Women of Influence, you can go to connectedwomenofinfluence.com. So, Patty, I'm going to put this charge on you. Is there anything more inspirational or more insightful that you can share with us as we wrap up the show? This has been super fun.
I would just say, you know, what we've accomplished in spite of COVID just goes to show how resilient and get-her-done professional women are. And they have risen to the occasion and really have shined through this.
Wow. Thank you. You know what? Thanks for saying that. And I want everybody to know this is Patty Vargas, who is our Chief Learning Officer at Connected Women of Influence. Also, number one Amazon best-selling author with The Resilience Factor. Patty, thank you for being our leading lady. And I just want to thank our listeners. You know, I think the message today is go find, interact, but, you know, take a moment and find a way to recognize the other amazing women that are around you, because I just personally don't think we get enough recognition. So take a moment, look for awards programs, or just acknowledge other women and tell them how great they are. So to all of our listeners, I want to say thank you for listening. You know, we're here every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific time. We're here every Friday afternoon at 2 p.m. Pacific time. It's Women Lead Radio. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host today. And what I'm saying to all of you is go therefore and recognize other women and have a fabulous week.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.